Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Mitch McGarry, Josh Eustace, Joey Devine, Harry Jones III, Terrence Ferguson, Sean Keane, Thabo Cephalosha, Byron B.J. Mullins, Patreons, Troy, Bo Dooling, thank you, Bo, thank you, Troy, Billy Attridge, thank you, Billy, musical guest, Oklahoma City's own Color Me Bad, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and I'm here with everybody's favorite Uncle Dad, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Just back from Summer League. Feel like I'm dying a little bit. Can't tell if I'm dehydrated, I'm too tired, or I just haven't eaten a vegetable in a week. Or all of the above. Sean, also back from Summer League. We should mention, too, in a few minutes in this episode, we're going to have our new Summer League friend from the Ringer, Tyler Parker, on to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder. But yeah, before we do that, Sean, right before we started to record, there was some news.
Whoa.
That's the Inception horn. That means a breaking news tweet happened as we started recording. The Indiana Pacers, Sean, have signed DeAndre Ayton to a max offer sheet.
Incredible. The first pick in the 2018 draft, and he's going to Indiana.
But Sean, question for you.
Yes.
My main question is, what video game do you think DeAndre Ayton's going to play for the next 20 hours to celebrate signing this large deal?
Now, you think he should play League of Legends, right?
Apex Legends, not
Apex Legends. Oh, jeez, sorry.
But what game do you think? You don't know anything about video games. So no. I'm more interested in seeing what video game you think he should play.
Katamari Damacy. Just roll around and pick up trash, bro. Yeah,
picking up all those max contracts.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's what you want to be as a garbage man. Get those loose balls, get those rebounds. And you know what you got to do, DeAndre Ayton? You got to roll to the hoop.
Sean,
like
question.
Like a Katamari.
Do you think the Suns are going to match this offer sheet?
I don't. No.
Do you think, apparently they have until midnight to make a trade. Do you think that's going to happen?
It just seems like it would make a lot of sense to trade Miles Turner. like a lot of these things seem like it would be simpler to do that. Now, Indiana does not need them to do that, though, necessarily, right?
I don't think so.
I mean, I think they can kind of... I don't know what the rules are, but they need to drop like $10 million. And that's kind of what Daniel Tice makes, or just a sack of those guys they got from Boston in the Malcolm Brogdon trade. Do you think Indiana is interested in Miles Turner?
Do I think Indiana's interested?
Phoenix is interested.
I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't be. Miles Turner is really good.
He's a good player.
Why is it so hard for these teams to trade good players? Like, no one wants John Collins. No one wants Miles Turner. What the fuck is going on?
I don't really get it. I mean, yeah, Miles Turner is a good player. Am I wrong about this? No.
He's a good player. Also, he was a roadie for Fleetwood Mac or something. 2 seasons ago, if I remember right.
Oh, wow. was he riding a skateboard the whole time?
Yeah. He's Dogface 69 or whatever that guy's name was. Before some business off the top before we talk about Summer League, at Round Rock Pod on Twitter, roundrockpod@gmail.com is our email. Yeah. Call us on the phone at the number in the description of the episode. Yep. And patreon.com/roundrockpod is where you can hear our Lincoln Lawyer podcast, Backseat Drivers.
Hell yeah.
We have 2 episodes up. One more will go up on Monday.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And then we've got some other special Patreon things planned. We're going to talk to some of our friends who went to the Warriors Parade. We're maybe going to play a Vegas-themed game. We'll see. We've got a lot planned for the Patreon this month. But, Sean, it's time to talk about Vegas. We should mention off the top, our listener meetup happened. It went well. So well, in fact, that we're going to have a guest on next week to talk about what happened with the listener meetup. So it's a little little Tillman-sized breadcrumb for you listeners. Sean, what was your favorite thing about Summer League this year?
Oh, obviously the delicious food at the Thomas and Mack Center. No, it was not that. We didn't really eat food at Summer League. I think that was a good move. I mean, in the arena, we weren't fasting, even though that's very easy to do. I know.
You did eat the popcorn.
I ate some popcorn. I liked how hilarious the first Orlando-Sacramento game was when the Kings basically had their basketball highlight of the last 15 years coming back from six points down at the end of the game.
They scored points in 17 seconds or something like that.
Yeah. Keegan Murray faked out pump faked, and two guys went past him before he had a game tying three. And then
Nemeas Keita was the hero of that game, I would say.
Yeah. He also had a game tying three.
Even though Keegan Murray got all the pub.
And then Paolo was really good. And then it was hilarious how they squandered all the excitement of the game by calling 7 timeouts, reviewing a bunch of things. And in sudden death overtime, the crowd got so mad. So it's sudden death when you get to double overtime in just the first team to score any points. And Orlando won the tip and they missed a shot and Sacramento got a rebound and they called timeout and the entire arena started booing them. And then later the next day, when we were waiting for an Oklahoma City game, the crowd started booing timeouts. They were like just so upset that the Wizards game was still happening that the whole crowd started booing a hapless
that
summer
game took
coach.
So long. My favorite moment is everything that happened to Keith Parrish at our friend from Fast Break Breakfast this year. He had the best stories. I'm not going to spoil them for you, but I highly recommend listening to Fast Break Breakfast this week because Keith had some wild things happen to him.
Hey, look, he's like it's weird. I don't know who the equivalent is. He's almost like a sideline reporter, but for the whole event, not really games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like Keith, we spent, well, what a story I will say.
He's a gonzo journalist.
He is a gonzo journalist. Us and Katie Heindel at one point just spent like 20 minutes following Keith follow tall people at the Aria Casino to see who they were. He's always on the lookout for tall people to go look at their badge because he also has trouble recognizing NBA players.
I'm with him there.
But it was great.
I get hype drunk.
For me, it was great seeing all our friends, some who are on this show, some who have yet to be on this show. And also just really bad basketball. The games were worse than normal, I would say.
I thought they were kind of close.
A lot of them were not. Also, somehow, the way I ended up watching games, I somehow watched the Spurs 5 times.
Yeah.
Which is not ideal for me, except Blake Wesley is very cool. Sean, who's your favorite player you saw?
Let's see.
We're going to talk about Chet later, so you can't talk about Chet. So no Chet.
No, Chet was not my favorite player I watched. I would say, obviously, James Wiseman.
In the those 2 minutes, three minutes
of the three minutes of fire. Look, he came out, he dunked, he hit a three, and he blocked a shot right away.
Two shots. Like, he blocked 2 shots right away.
Yeah, go ahead and retire from Summer League at that point. You did it all, buddy. They could have shut him down, and Warriors fans would have been like, that's great. How's his knee? Is his knee okay? We're so scared. Mm-hmm. We're so scared. No, but I think my favorite guy, I'm not going to mention him. I was really into Josh Christopher. I think he was like the two most sort of like impressive guys I didn't expect to be really impressed by were Josh Christopher and Trey Murphy.
Yeah. Second year guys, they should be playing. We'll talk about that later. My favorite guy actually, and I'm going to sound like a homer, but sorry. That first Moses Moody game was fucking awesome. Even though it was so boring. He's such a boring player, but he's so good that it's boring. meanwhile, the player I expected to be my favorite player, Jonathan Kuminga, was so bad in that game, he changed his shoes at halftime. Never a good sign for an NBA player if they're changing their shoes at halftime.
But then he won that other game.
He did. He was pretty good in that other game. I'm a little worried about him after watching the third game, too. But anyway, we'll talk about that later, I assume. I also saw Luka Garza. Really enjoyed the Luka Garza experience. I think I was correct that he was the Jack Cooley of this year's Summer League. although the only person who really got the crowd riled up in a fun Summer League way was watching Richard Jefferson referee.
Oh my gosh, that was a classic.
Yeah, it was insane. Anything else you want to say, Sean?
No.
All right. Well, thank you.
I'm sure we'll talk more about this, but I also want to say thanks to the Craps Tables, the Four Queens,
the El Cortez,
Golden Gate,
and
Joey for taking pictures of me.
Yeah, I did take a lot of photos of you. There was one place where I refused to take a photo of you, though, and it was of Aisha Curry's, an ad for Aisha Curry's restaurant.
Yeah,
I was just you don't want that, Sean.
I got a regular picture.
I was like, you do not want to take a picture in front of an Aisha Curry advertisement now.
Eating
you do ribs in a gross way.
It was pretty gross. But I liked seeing her again. You know what I mean? She doesn't care anymore.
But yeah, hello. And I love you to all of our friends we met and saw who we never get to see. Keith, Dave, Bill, Martin, Katie, Rob, all our friends.
Sam Presti,
Mike Muscala.
Shams,
yeah. I love Summer League and I wish I could live there. All right. speaking of Summer League, let's talk to our friend from The Ringer, Tyler Parker.
Hell yeah.
We're here with the Ringer's Tyler Parker, Coach T himself. We met him at Summer League.
Oh, no.
And we...
What a terrible start.
And we are here to talk about the talk of Summer League, the best people we saw. Tyler's a huge Oklahoma City Thunder fan. So, Tyler...
Yeah.
How are you feeling after Summer League? This was like your NBA Finals, right?
I know. It's really I'm good to shut it down until next year, I think, until next summer.
Well, that's what's going to happen, right?
No, I think they just shut down Chet for the year too. Yeah, I think he's done. I'm happy. I didn't know what to expect. It was like a little different because they had played in the Utah Summer League, so it was like you had at least you had seen what it might look like. But yeah, I mean, like, I was pumped about Chet. Like, there's things to work on and things to fix, but it's like I was happy with how, with the amount of things that he can do that translated, I guess, you know what I mean? And it's just like, it seems like he's going to be fun, which is like not a thing. It doesn't, it's not like a thing that matters for wins, but I don't really give a shit.
You know what I mean?
Like, I'm pumped that, like, in looking at the dudes that played well in, like, the three dudes I feel like that played like pretty well in Summer League for the Thunder would have been Giddy, Chet, and Jalen Williams. Like,
yep.
Those are kind of like in my head, those are like the three standouts, and those are all dudes that like project to play a lot, it seems like, this year. And they are very fun and can all do things with the ball in their hand, and playing them with Shea, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. So I'm,
well, and you still have the $100 million man, Lou Dort, too.
do you think Chet looks more like an agile skeleton? Is he more like a more athletic slender man?
I will say, me and Katie Heindel were calling him young Drac, because he looks like a Dracula.
And then he comes in to block the shot, and it's like, oh.
He's like the first guy who, like, when I saw him in person, I was like, I bet you that this is what all the Looney Tunes were seeing whenever the Sean Bradley Monstar showed up. This was kind of like in the general vicinity of like his measurements. I had to write a little, they wanted me to like write a, you know, like, has Chet lived up to the hype thing? They did like a little roundup post that went up today. And I wrote about it, or I wrote about it. And I just said, like, it's like, you know how in the cartoon, in like some cartoons, like, a storm cloud just follows someone around and it's just raining on them all the time. Chet's like that, but the thing that is following them around is like the stretchy part of a funhouse mirror. You know what I mean? So everything's just all like, it's like warped all the time. And so it's almost like he looked like when he is at his, like, in those times on the floor, when he does actually look like kind of smooth and athletic, like, it's weird that it's weird, like, that transition, because sometimes for sure he looks like super awkward too, right? Like, when he falls, it looks like, oh no, is he ever going to get up? Like, did everything shatter?
It's like a beach umbrella being folded down, basically, when he falls.
That's great. It's going to be so, I have no idea if he's going to be able to put on muscle or not. Like, there's like the tiniest little bit of definition there, but it looks like the kind of definition that like cross country runners have, where it's like, you're not strong. You're just like, there's just something wrong with you. And you're,
yeah, there's nothing between the muscle and your skin. That's, didn't really,
it's like, that one tendon is fat.
Oh man, did you see that? I guess that guy's bone kind of goes in there. That's why it looks like there's definition.
So I've read that they would have, he might have trouble putting on weight and muscle, but I'm also thinking, what would that even look like? Like a jacked Chet Holmgren?
I can't even
visualize it.
It would be even weirder than, like, I mean, I guess like the only thing that we would, and Giannis wasn't even this skinny, but like Giannis got, went from a rail to jacked, and that, you know, I guess like sort of wound up looking sort of normal. Chet just like,
it doesn't, he doesn't have Giannis body though.
No, he's not going to get Giannis jacked, but I'm just trying to think like, what would it even look like? Like
the idea would be Durant, right? Like Durant's like as jacked as he can get and is still like a bean pool.
I mean, he's not that jacked.
No, I know that, but that's what I mean. But you're right. Jacked as he can get.
It's probably just going to be the thing where just like there's never any definition there, right? Like he's probably going to have like skinny Jokic arms, right? Yeah. Like where it's like there's no definition whatsoever, but like hopefully there's enough there to do some sort of damage.
Mm-hmm. They need to get him on the Marvel diet, I think.
That's steroids. Those Paul Rudd steroids.
It's all natural. I read Men's Health magazine.
They need to get him those Paul Rudd steroids. You're correct.
That would be great if they could get him some of the Paul. Even if they could just get him looking like Corey Stoll or something. Yeah. You know, just something solid. Like let's like it's. No, but I don't. Yeah.
God, now I'm like, just imagining Chet bald like Corey Stoll. That's upsetting.
That's too much like old Drac.
I mean, if he was bald, he would just look like the weirdest dick in the world, right? Like he would just look like the weirdest looking penis that you've ever seen in your life.
He'd look like Jack Skellington. I wonder if he would just be like demanding that it was Halloween all the time.
I wanted to ask, is this the year you start rooting for Oklahoma City to win for real? Because my dad wanted me to tell you that the Tank Diaries were his favorite Ringer feature of all time. And he said it was better than that article that mentioned you, Sean, which was the one about the song Round Ball Rock.
Sure.
So he loved it. He wanted me to say hi. But also, hello.
Nice of him. Hello to him.
Is this one more tank year, or are they just not going to be able to avoid being respectable this season?
The fan in me would like them to not, and I don't think that it will. I don't think it could possibly be as blatant as it's been the past couple years. I don't think that they're going to be like going balls to the wall trying to win as many games as possible. I don't know how, and maybe they just don't care. Maybe it is just like, you know, middle fingers to the sky. Like we're just like, we're already, you know, they're already waist deep in it. So they're just going to go with it. I don't know how they would be able to sell like shutting Shea down for any extended period of time this year for a third year. I don't know how like he would be okay with it. As a guy who likes watching him play, I would be super bummed if after the All-Star break, you know, they just pull the plug again. Some people, you know, you hear them sort of like start to talk about like, oh, I wonder if if, you know, Chet shows some juice early and like Giddy's looking improved and Shea's looking really good, like, will they, you know, try to like pull some of these assets together and try to go get somebody else, some disgruntled-ish vet or whatever? Like, I don't think that that's going to happen. I don't think that they're going to try to, I don't think they're going to try to get that much better yet. If that makes sense.
Because they want Victor Wembanyama, just like every other.
And if not him, like the top of the draft is just, I mean, him, Scoot, those Thompson twins, like there's, I think that there's just enough like up there, and Presti is just so dead set. I think he like got really dead set on that, like, Phoenix Suns kind of trajectory that they had, whereas just like they were so bad for so long that at a certain point you do just have, you've got Book and Ayton and Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson and all these guys. Like, I think he's just trying to get to a place where he's got like four, you know, high lotto picks or whatever. I don't know that he's going to get they're just not bad enough. Like, Shea's too good.
Yeah. And that's sort of the problem, right?
Yeah. Like, he's just too good. They're not going to be able to bottom out in a way that the Rockets could last year, or the Pistons or whatever. Like, it's just that there's too much talent there on the roster. And so I don't want them to throw the kitchen sink at it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want them to be trying to lose a bunch of games, but I also, it would not surprise me. Nothing would surprise me with them, just because like Presti has proven that he will go to the ends of the earth to do like pretty much whatever he wants. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Nothing would surprise me aside from just like, if it was like a full scale effort, if it was like, we're shutting Giddy down, we're shutting Shea down, we're shutting Chet down, all that stuff, that would surprise me. But if that's kind of it. They're just too, mm-hmm. I think they're just too, they're really, really dead set on like going about the tank in the way that they want to. You know what I mean? I don't think they're going to let any outside, if they've gone to these extents thus far, I don't think they're going to let any outside pressure enter the mix unless Chet just all of a sudden becomes even better in the regular season, right? And it's like ISOing all over the place and becomes a monster. Right. And it's just like, I feel like I'm rambling a bunch here, but yeah, that's my general feeling, that they're not going to try to like, I don't think they're going to go try to trade for, you know, this year's equivalent of Chris Paul. You know what I mean? To like
Kevin Durant. They're not going to bring Kevin Durant back to Oklahoma City. Yeah. Is that what you're saying? They could have the best package.
Breaking news. You heard your first.
Derek Favors back to the Nets, Kevin Durant back to the Thunder.
Look, I mean, I think that if you're the Nets, you got to zag. You got to try to get somebody who can dominate in the low post like Favors can.
Uh-huh. And yeah. And you also need somebody with weird hair as your second best player in Kenrich Williams. So I wanted to tell you, Tyler, luckily saw my favorite rapper at Summer League who is Thunder related, and his name is Mike Jaws. He was walking around, Mike Muscala. So first off, we gotta play his song.
Call me Mike Jaws of the best kept secret. Coming from Atlanta where the Hawks stay screeching. I got three goals and I ain't talking.
My favorite rap song ever, Mike Jaws.
Joey, I did not know about any of this.
Yeah, was from the All-Star Talent Show point. Yeah.
Mike Jaws.
Mike Muscala goes by the rap name Mike Jaws, and that was the rap they played.
I haven't been this embarrassed on a podcast in a long while, but I did not know about that. Is one of the greatest failures of my career, I think. Like, that's unbelievable. What is... Is it just one song?
I mean, I think he has lots of songs, but that's Mike the song Jaws he made for TNT. That's an
unbelievable rap name.
Yeah, yeah. Mike Jaws, great rap name. It's long. I mean, there's 30 seconds of this. Here, we can hop in some more.
One, win the championship. More. Two, make a smash it. Three, have a baby with my lady, then some grandkids. These other rappers, Shaky Charles backswing. Trying to find the recipe, I call him Plankton. The flow so appealing, best rapper in the league. Aw, man, what a feeling. Showing y'all I can spit. What up, Shaq, Charles, Ernie, Kenny, the Jet Smith.
All right.
Oh, my God.
So my question for you is, do you think we can get Mike Muscala to teach Chet and Poku to rap? And do, like... Whatever the Zoomer equivalent of the Fat Boys is, but like they're skinny and tall.
The Fat Boys. Oh my God! What
the
was
Drac that? Boys?
because you brought up Muscala, like this is terrible pod etiquette, but I'm gonna show y'all this before I left on the very last night. I was like fixing to leave Thomas and Mac, and I was walking and I saw an extremely tall man in a beautiful ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, who might that be that looks a lot like Chet's papa? And it was. And so I lingered. I tried to watch him in the wild a little bit, see how it was going. And what did I notice? But him and Mike Jaws.
Yeah.
Minnesota basketball royalty meeting, dapping up in the lobby.
See, I think that's also maybe when I saw Mike Jaws, but missed the ponytail.
I was pumped up. Every single person in Chet's family is gigantic. Mm-hmm. His sister honestly looks like she's probably like 6'9" or something. Like it was amazing. But yeah, saw a little Minnesota basketball royalty meeting there. So I was pretty excited about
that. Wow. Okay.
Did you? All right, Tyler. So it's your second year at Summer League. Did you force a selfie on anyone? Because I did.
I did not. I don't have that. Like, I don't have that in me. I took one picture with like, do you know Andrew Schlecht?
Yeah.
He's like the great dude. Like I've like known him because of just Thunder like internet basketball circles for a minute, but we had never like met in person or anything like that. And so we saw each other at that like tip off party or whatever in that weird room with like the waterfall that had like words on it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like we took a picture, but I did not force a selfie on anyone that I did not know.
Because you
got Mike Schmitz, I saw.
I had to take a picture with Mike Schmitz. I saw Mike Schmitz walking around and I was like, it'd be so funny to make Mike Schmitz take a picture with me. Like,
he seemed super happy about it.
Oh, yeah, he was. Well, because I gave him the best compliment ever first. I was like, hey, I just want you to know, like, the draft coverage was way worse without you.
Oh.
Because it's true. But also, that's the man that used to edit hard-ass beats into Draft Express videos.
Oh, total bangers into the Draft Express. Yeah. I totally forgot about all that stuff.
I forced one long-distance selfie without telling Sean. So I took a picture of him in the background from about 20 feet behind him. And then afterwards, I realized he was talking to Kevin O'Connor. And I was like, oh, I could have just said hi to him.
The thing I was blown away by is like so many people are very short.
Yeah.
A lot of writers are really pocket sized.
Yeah. Like me and Sean, we're pretty short. Yeah. Yeah.
No, but no, not,
but
like,
not like,
no,
Shams. Like,
not like Shams.
Shams is like small.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
I actually have a theory about Shams. I'm not sure I should share on a podcast. No, I'm going to share it.
Sources.
When I first
saw him, he
was much shorter and also just starting to become famous. And then the next summer he'd become famous and he was like 3 inches taller. And I think he wears lifts. I also scared him that first year. He was walking down the hallway texting and I went, Shams, who are you texting? And he went, oh, and like bobbled his phone.
Tyler, did you get to witness Richard Jefferson refereeing that game?
I didn't get to witness anything other than like probably like the first like couple seconds of it. Like that... I was down there on the baseline. That was right after the Thunder game, and I had to go somewhere, and so it was like I saw Jefferson down there like around all the officials. Like them trying to sort of talk to him, looking extremely nervous.
Mm-hmm. He was so bad at it. He was really bad at it.
Wasn't the first call he got it wrong?
Yes, oh, yeah, it was an out-of-bounds call about a foot away.
And then he didn't call anything for, like, most of the quarter.
Yeah.
But then also he kept doing the wrong hand signals and standing in the wrong place.
It was very funny. Like, the heckling he was getting from... Apparently Tom Thibodeau and Jamal Murray were really giving him the business, but there was a contingent of Knicks fans just cheering for him.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was so funny to me.
That's incredible. I guess
one guy just went, do your job, Richard.
I like that he did it. Like I like that he was sort of trying to be to show like, hey, like this is hard. Reffing is hard, but it's also just sort of like, okay, I know. But
right.
But it's their job.
I was sort of like, This feels like the ABA to me. What are we doing here? Like, just, oh, we do stunts now.
Was it really just for one quarter?
It was one quarter. Yeah. Okay. Which was good because it meant I didn't have to stay for the whole game.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's like, because I kept thinking, like, what's, like, ultimately, if it's just for a quarter, like, what is even the point of this? Like, why wouldn't he just do the whole game?
Right.
Our friend
Keith from Fast Break Breakfast would argue that if it were more than one quarter, he was literally taking someone's job, because a lot of those refs are like, auditioning to be NBA totally. Refs.
That's a great, I forgot about that. That's a great, it would have been, thinking about it in those terms, it would have been very funny if, like, at the end of the second quarter, he was like, let me go the second half. Let me go.
Yeah. I mean, even in those terms, it's like, then why is he even taking this quarter, you jerk?
I was thinking also, that, like, are there any summer league refs who really try to show out, like the guys who are trying to do acrobatic dunks in the fourth quarter to impress the Bundesliga, you know?
Yeah, we should have paid attention and figured out who the Mac McClung of the
right
the
like, refs, is there somebody who's like really demonstrative with the signals, or
you know, somebody's like in their head it's like the way to be is like Joey Crawford, and so like I wonder if they have idols like basketball players do, if they like have people that they model their officiating styles after.
They're like, I really want to be like Scott Foster and not get caught for gambling. All right. I want to ask you about a specific guy here before we play the game we brought you on to play.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Poku. Let's talk about Poku.
Okay.
So Sean and I are diehard Warriors fans. We were like real Warriors fans, and my favorite basketball player of all time is Anthony Randolph. Is Poku your Anthony Randolph?
Like a guy who has a lot of skills. He's like almost too big for his own body.
But cannot control his body. Sort of doesn't know what's happening to him at any point. And also might cry on the court.
Yeah, might cry on the court.
Poku does look super sad sometimes. That's such a good question. I think honestly that my first thought was, Anthony Randolph experienced more on-court basketball success in one summer league than Poku has in his entire NBA career. That was my first thought, honestly. Yeah.
He did have a 42-point game.
And I say that as somebody who thinks that Poku has done some good things on a basketball floor before, but like it's been wildly inconsistent and just like so ugly sometimes, right? Poku is one of the hardest like Thunder players for me to even like think about, because I can't really be like, I want him to be good so bad. I want him to work so bad that there will always be like that little thing in the back of my head that's like, I don't know, man, but he can kind of handle it a little bit in passing.
Uh-huh. You're sounding like Anthony Randolph here, because what I'll tell you right now is still to this day, the Anthony Randolph in my mind is like the best basketball player ever. Like no one will ever be better. He's like if Giannis was also KD.
Well, it's your boy Mike Schmitz last year on a podcast talking about Poku, I think with Zach Lowe, is like, theoretically, he's the best basketball player in the world. talking about what he could be, right? Like, I don't know, after watching some of this summer league, and it's super unfair to even think this, but like, I'm way less inclined to think it's going to work than I was at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. And if only because, like, until the shot gets there for him, he's just not going to be able to play. Like, mm-hmm. he's fine with the ball in his hands, still can be a little loose with it. But, like, if he was able to make, like, 35% of his threes, he could get on the floor and, honestly, I think, like, be fine, you know? Mm-hmm. But until the shot starts falling, it's just not going to – because you're not going to look out there and be like, okay, Shea, Giddy are out there, like they get the ball.
Right. Yeah.
You don't get to run the pick and rolls. They get the ball. And so it's like I remember one time I was on with, you know, you talk about Keith, Fashion Break Breakfast Keith. I was on with him on his podcast, and he said, or I said, like, Poku just needs to be out there with better players. And Keith said, oh, I think he's on the wrong team then. And I was like, yes, that is absolutely true. But like, I had wished they would play him with the starters more, just so like he could kind of, because sometimes he plays down. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes he like gets, especially if like some shit goes bad for him, like despite his like weird high level of confidence, like he can also get like really mopey really quickly.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, it sounds like Anthony Randolph. Keep going.
It won't affect him from like trying some wild shit, right? Mm-hmm. Like he'll still like try to do something nuts, but he'll look sad about it, I guess.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. And so I, all that to say, like, when the season starts, the first time he's on the floor, everything in my heart will be like, please just do so. Please do good. Please do good. Please do good. You know what I mean? Like, I can't help it, but I'm also getting less and less. If you ask me to put all my belongings on the table, is it going to work or not? Absolutely not. Right. Like, but right.
Yeah,
I think there's still like the tiniest little chance that it, I mean, he's still so young. I mean, he mm-hmm. is really, really, really young. And he's still like, when they draft, like we, sometimes I would get a little like, he's obviously worth like, he's a ridiculous player, right? He's easy to make fun of. I would get a little mad, a little frustrated whenever people would really rag on him early, because it was like, hey, from the moment they drafted him, like, we knew this is what was coming. Everybody said right. It was going to be bad early. It was going to take a long time. He's
basically the same age as Chet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it was, on some level, like, I still have, like, you know, when you're a fan, it was like whenever, like, people would shit on Westbrook for all those years. It's like, you both know, like, some of the stuff they're saying is right, but you're also like, but hey, that's my yeah. friend. Don't talk about my friend like that.
Yeah.
Know? Well, Poku's incredible because something's always happening. I saw... Always. The first Thunder game in the Utah Summer League was just incredible because there was a play where he got the ball knocked away from him three different times on the perimeter, but then saved the ball going out of bounds and threw a behind the back pass to Chet for a monster first dunk. Yeah. And it was just like, he's so watchable. Like,
yeah.
One of the things that like me and some of the other like Thunder, like writers or whatever would talk about his first season would be like, he could have been out there on the floor, like playing against the 2001 Lakers. Mm-hmm. And all I'm watching is him.
Right.
I do not care about anything else.
Right.
But him. The thing that makes me know that I'm excited about Chet is that he makes me look at something that's not Poku. You know what I mean? Like when Poku's out there, like that's how I know I'm excited about Chet and Giddy too. But before when Poku was out there, like if you put Poku out there in some of those like late season Thunder lineups from like last year or two seasons ago, like there honestly may as well have just been a Poku cam for me. Like I didn't pay attention to much else.
Yeah. I was bummed he didn't play in Vegas because I wanted to see him and Chet play on the court at the same time.
I was so bummed. I'm sure they had their reasons. I, especially in the wake of like Chet playing like three games and Giddy playing a couple, I really don't know why they sat him. But because he needs the reps. Like, I just, he needs them so bad. Nobody's ever needed anything more. And so I'm sure they have their reasons. I mean, so I don't even want to speculate, but I hope that they'll give him some minutes.
Let him run that second unit.
Let him run the show. maybe if Trey Mann's a little dinged up, you know, let's
put him out there with the bad Jalen Williams and let him cook, dude.
Yeah. Throw some lobs, baby. I did like the Thunder at least sent more guys to Summer League than most teams.
That is actually what I wanted to talk about next. Tyler, did you find it a little depressing how few second year guys played?
I think it's kind of stupid.
It's really stupid.
Because I don't think that like yes, there are some like gigantic idiots out there that if you had played well your first year and you came out and played one game in Vegas and struggled a little bit, I'm sure are that there are some like terrible people out there that would be like, oh, he sucks. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, dude, no one who is smart is going to be think, you know what I'm saying? It feels like guys are like either it's laziness or like sort of like, you know, rep protection or like, I don't know.
I have a different take. I know
what's
what
your
is.
Theory. I'm excited.
My theory is that LeBron James ruined Summer League. The year he showed up to watch Lonzo as a first year Laker, like as someone who was going to Summer League for like 10 years before that, guys,
is that the first thing like that?
Yeah, like guys didn't like guys would show up if they were like negotiating a contract or whatever, but they wouldn't show up to like, oh, I'm going to get on ESPN. They're going to show me watching my team. And it's now become like sort of a like I'm the star. I get to sit on the like ESPN's going to show me sitting on the sidelines watching my guys. It's like
it was so weird that Kyrie picked the Chet Vegas debut to like show up. Like that's honestly like one of the biggest compliments that I could think to Chet that Chet could ever receive.
Well, and like it was crazy to me when they were playing, when the Thunder were playing the Rockets and like Giddy is playing and sitting on the courtside for the Rockets were Sengun and Jalen Green. And it's like, this guy had a better year than both of you. You guys should be playing.
The Jalen Green aspect of it is super funny. And like, Jalen Green's good, like really good, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be awesome. And like, I'm not a Jalen Green hater by any stretch of the imagination, nor am I a Sengun hater.
Josh, that's why you should get an MVP vote.
What if the last three words I say on this right before I log off is just going to be fuck Jalen Green. Yeah. I lost train of thought. Oh no. Giddy won 4 Western Conference Rookie of the Year awards last year and didn't make all rookie first team. And
that's because they shut him down too early.
For sure. It's why they shut him down too early, but it's also like, oh yeah, it's like that. It's, you know, very much a what have you done for me lately type of, industry, it feels like, with those particular kinds of awards. But looking at it in that context, right, like you say, like Giddy had a better year than both of those guys. And even if you're the biggest Jalen Green fan in the world, I think that you could say Giddy had just as good a year as Jalen.
Right.
He had a better year than Jalen Green. I'm saying it right now. Yeah.
I appreciate that. You can say that. If I say that, it's like, you know, guy who jerks off to pictures of Russell Westbrook says that.
I'll just say at no point did Josh Giddey shoot the ball too much that the two players got so mad they just left the game at halftime.
It's crazy that didn't get more play. It's crazy. It's the
weirdest story.
But no, all that to say, like, I think it would help them. Like Giddy's standing in league circles, like only because Giddy was playing, you've got like them taking like weirdly large swaths of like halftime to talk to like Jason Kidd about like why Josh Giddy is good. And like, it's awesome that he, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you can up your, like, if you are thinking about it in terms of like, oh, I don't want to like mess with my profile or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to mess with how people view me. Like, if you're like thinking like, no, I'm a cream of the crop dude, I don't do that.
Right. You know what I mean? To me, it's like the dunk contest. Guys are like, I'm too good for the dunk contest now.
Yes. But
it's also weird because it's like, it is a free week where nothing is going on and all these games are on ESPN all the time.
And you're scrimmaging anyway. Like, you're
You're playing basketball somewhere.
I also think that, like, if you're Sengun and, like, if we're just talking about, like, the two that you referenced, but you can say it with a lot of the guys that are coming in their second year. But I think
Franz Wagner. Keep going.
Like, particularly, like dudes that are, like, really, really good offensively. Mm-hmm. Like, what more could you possibly, like, Jalen Green, you could go take 30 shots a game.
Yeah. Like, and if you're too good, they just shut you down.
Yeah.
Like play the two
games.
You're
going to go anyway. If you're in Vegas already. Like, I'm just supporting the young guys. I'm 20 years old.
It's super weird they make the trip. It's so weird they make the trip. Like, Vegas is awesome, but like, you could have Vegas and then just like, there's no way Jalen Green's not going to go ballistic in a summer league game, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's going to go, he's going to go nuts. Like just go out there and have fun.
I just really think they should have pointed at like Franz Wagner again. I'm picking on him a little bit because
you
like
hate him, don't you?
Really like Franz Wagner, which is why it kind of bugs me he didn't play, because it's like, dude, you were so good last year at like working off the ball and playing defense. Like, you know what would help you? You would get to be the number one guy and like dribble the ball every single time and like work on creating against like higher level guys. Like,
you start getting in game minutes like with Paolo.
With Paolo, too, right? Yeah.
Like you get to start figuring out how that stuff works. And if someone wants to say like, come on, man, like there's plenty of time for them to gain chemistry. Like, okay, I guess you're right. But also like you could have started earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know.
But I know Memphis people would tell you, like, part of Desmond Bane's leap this year was they made him play point guard last year in summer league. And it was just, like, handling the ball every single possession and, like, getting reps on that. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's crazy to me. My line would be, like, okay, Mobley, you don't have to play. Scotty, you don't have to play. Cade, you don't have to play. Everybody else should have to play unless they're hurt.
I don't disagree with that. I think that there are some like for some dudes, like I, like you say, like with Mobley, guys who were like obviously like pretty much good all year, right? Like I know like Cade sort of struggled maybe a little bit early, but like guys who could put together a lot of good play throughout the season consistently for extended periods of time. You know what I'm saying? Like that's one thing, but yeah, it did kind of feel like Jalen's was sort of like, okay, last couple months of the season, like I'm finally going to start putting together and going nuts. Like I just think it would help. I think that more minutes helps.
Yeah.
And more,
it's
and
like,
more
why isn't Davion Mitchell playing? What is going on?
That's super weird. Anytime it's like the defensive specialist stuff where they don't play, like, and they weren't like, that stuff's super weird. Like,
that guy should be working on his offense. All right.
Jalen Suggs was just hurt though, right?
I don't know.
I think he had an ankle injury, but
I thought that I heard someone say that he couldn't play. It wasn't like he's not playing, like he couldn't.
Or right.
Yeah.
The only guy in the lottery.
He had surgery in May. That's why. Okay.
I was going to say the only guy in the lottery who had a real rough year in what appears to be like an insanely deep draft. All right. I want to play a game with you, Tyler. Here's what we're going to do.
Terrific.
This game is called The Good Son. And it's based on the Macaulay Culkin, Elijah Wood, 90s classic movie, The Good Son.
Okay. I have not seen this movie. I have to tell you. I have not seen this movie.
Well, what I'm going to tell you is at the end of The Good Son, Macaulay Culkin plays an evil child. And
he's the bad son.
Yeah, he's the bad son. And
spoiler.
Then, Elijah Wood plays his cousin whose mom dies and has to come live with them. And it turns out that Macaulay Culkin is a psychopath who's like murdering people all over the place. And the movie ends with spoiler alert to The Good Son, with the mom holding in one hand Elijah Wood over a cliff and in one hand her biological son, Macaulay Culkin, in the other over a cliff.
Yeah.
And she can't hold them both. She has to choose one. And she pulls up Elijah Wood and lets her son die a horrible death into the ocean.
Wow.
So I want you to get in the shoes. You're Macaulay Culkin's mom here.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the names of some Oklahoma City Thunder assets. You're holding them above a cliff, and need to decide who is who. And first off, I guess we play the intro to the game first.
If I let you go, you think you could fly?
Macaulay Culkin, the good son.
All right.
Such an ominous way to say the good son.
All right, we're starting at the bottom here. You're holding over a cliff, Aaron Wiggins and Vit Krejci. Who are you saving here?
Vit, man, have a good one. I'll see you later, buddy.
Like, all right.
Yeah, do you think like super hard? Aaron Wiggins is like gonna get minutes. He's good.
Do you think Aaron Wiggins could possibly start an All-Star game when K-pop fans get confused by the drop-down menu? Comes up first.
Did y'all say, just to pause, as Warriors fans, because this is honestly one of my favorite quotes that I've ever heard a player have in my life. Uh-huh. Wiggins admitting after the season that whenever the Mavericks went small and or that whenever they had to go small against the Mavericks and they like he realized he was going to have to rebound, that whenever he finally started doing it, he was like, hey, this is actually pretty easy. I had no idea it would be this easy. This is, oh man, I can't believe it. I'll never get four rebounds again. This was super easy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if I was a Wolves fan, I would like try to swallow a hairdryer or something. Like I can't, like that's insane.
I mean, I got to work with Timberwolves super fan Joe Mandy, and he was like proud of Wiggins, but also upset. Also, Joe Mandy said depressingly enough, he's basically the Drake of the Timberwolves fan base. They don't really have a lot of celebs.
I mean, Mandy's way more likable than Drake. Yeah.
I would say I thought it was hilarious, obviously. But I really just hope that the Wiggins from the playoffs is the Wiggins we're going to get like from here on out. Because
I didn't mean to hijack the game.
No, of course.
Reminded me of, yeah.
It just, well, I asked you about a guy named Aaron Wiggins, so it makes sense. So, like, I don't know. It seems repeatable, but I don't want to see floaty Wiggins anymore. The post All-Star break Wiggins really made me insane. So,
right.
Tyler, did you see the Ryan Saunders story about Wiggins?
No, but when I read that quote, Ryan Saunders was one of the first people I thought of. Like, yeah, I thought when he read that quote, he must have just been just pulling his hair out. Like, I can't imagine.
He yelled at him so much during halftime that they thought he might be having a heart attack.
Yeah, and he had ended chest up pains.
Straining like a pectoral muscle because he was yelling so hard.
At Andrew Wiggins.
Who also had the same story. It's like, yeah, one of his favorite people in the world.
Yeah, because he was, I believe he was a groomsman at Ryan Saunders' wedding. You probably shouldn't hire a coach where like your most frustrating player is one of his best friends.
It's the best man.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Choking on the speech. Yeah. All right. Sorry, Joe.
All right.
That was my fault.
No, we're good. Let's go with Teo Maledon versus I lost my place here. The 2024 first round pick of the Houston Rockets.
I wasn't ready for this kind of for this kind of remix. This makes me excited. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Supposedly the Rockets will be trying in the 2023-24 season. Theoretically.
I think I might hold on to the pick.
Oh, you're dropping Teo? Okay. Everyone say bye to Teo.
Okay.
Is his mom... go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead. Ask your question, Sean.
Is his mom Wendy Crewson?
Probably. I don't know. It's some lady I'd never recognize.
Teo's mom?
No, yeah, Teo's mom is Wendy Cruz.
That would have been great. I think she's like the Santa Claus's wife.
Her?
She was in an episode of The Littlest Hobo, obviously.
As we all know.
Yeah. The mom from The Good Son is what? Where's this? Wendy Crewson. Yes, you're correct.
Okay. Every Canadian show she's in is like has a hilarious title to me. Like Frankie Drake Mysteries. She's in the Frankie Drake Mysteries.
This Good Son poster that says evil has many faces.
Uh-huh. And it's Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay's cherub
smirking
face
at you. Yeah.
Just terrifying.
All right. Jeremiah Robinson Earl. or Terrence Mann.
Oh,
not Terrence Mann. The other man, the Trey. Man, the Trey Man. Yeah.
Yes.
Terrence Mann or Terrence Malick.
If the Clips wanted to include Terrence Mann in this SGA deal retroactively, that would be great. I would pick Trey Mann, even all though right. I do like JRE, but Trey, yes, Trey. I think Trey's got some untapped juice offensively that could be.
I would say of all the Thunder guys, Sean and I disagree on Jeremiah Robinson Earl the most.
Do you? What are y'all's?
I really like him. I'm like, that's Patrick Patterson. That guy just plays in the NBA for like as a like stretch four for like 10 years. And Sean is sure. Like, I have no faith in this guy at all.
Yeah, he feels like I'm like, oh, a small ball center on a terrible team made some shots. Weird. But he looked, I mean, look, I'm rooting for him. I like that there's a guy named Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Like, if he became a star and people were like, Robinson Earl! That's...
Yeah, he's one of those guys, like, I think it could swing any way. Like, if someone came with a good argument that, like, they think he's going to, like Joey, like, if I would both, like, agree with what you, not be surprised with what you say, or Sean with what you say with him. Like, the thing with Jerry with me is that I think that he's not going to make a lot of mistakes and he seems like he's going to at least always, he knows kind of the places to be on defense, which are things that Daigneault like values like crazy. He just sort of seems like a Daigneault kind of guy. And especially considering the fact that like he started so many games last year before he got hurt, like he was the Baisley was not the starter when the two of them were healthy. It was JRE. So like I think that he seems like the type of guy that they're excited about. He's just sort of he's just kind of like a boring player, right? Like he just kind of there's nothing very exciting about him. I think he's solid, but yeah, no, Trey.
Well, it's nice that you said all those nice things about him, but you also dropped him off this cliff. So here we go.
I don't think he could fly.
All right. It's so funny to hear Macaulay Culkin scream while falling off that cliff. All right. You knew this one had to happen. It's Jalen Williams or Jalen Williams.
Give me J-A-L-E-N. Santa Clara's own.
Let me tell you, they should be, the Thunder should be fined and sanctioned for drafting both of those players. Also, no, in Summer League, they were
the
number
The fact
six.
That they're wearing 6 and 8 is six really just, upsetting.
Come on.
It seemed like a real big...
Like, that's a troll move.
For sure. No, it seemed like a total troll move. It made me both be like, why are y'all doing this? And also respect. Oh, I have so much respect for this.
It's hilarious.
It's a good bit. It's a hilarious bit.
Yes. It's a great bit. It should have been a bit for one game. And then the other, and then one of them should have been like 77 after that. But no, I picked Santa Clara, Jalen Williams for sure. That guy, like he was a blind spot for me. Like I didn't know much about him and hadn't watched much or anything. And so no, he's been the surprise of Summer League. Like just because, you know, Chet was a higher pick, you know more about him, you know more about the potential. So like I'm excited about him, but I'm probably like, you know, more excited about Jalen Williams, you know, in comparison to where I was that one. You know what I'm saying? Like
he looked awesome. He looked so good.
And he looked good, like doing kind of everything. Like he just looks solid in all areas, you know what I'm saying? And like I think he's the type of guy that in certain lineups they're gonna be able when they want to go Chet at the five, they can put him at the four and he can do some stuff. I mean, he's got like a 7'2" wingspan at like 6'6". He played point guard the whole time that he was in college, and the shot seems like it's gonna translate. I'm super excited for him just because like he looks like he knows what he's doing off the ball too, which is huge when you're adding guys to the mix on a team with Giddy and Shea, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just the vibes are really good there. Like everybody, he just seems like a, just one of those guys, just seems like a great hang, like at all times. He's like in all the other guys' Instagram stories. You know what I mean? He's like that type of guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a, he's a guy who, if you ask Thunder fans, like after Summer League, what's like story number one, if it's not Chet, it's for sure his, how good he looks.
Well, bye-bye, tall Jalen Williams.
Want to go tree climbing, Thomas J? His face hurts. And where is his glasses? He can't see without his glasses. Put his glasses on. Put on his glasses. He was going to be an acrobat.
He's gone, sweetheart. He's gone.
That was, of course, Macaulay Culkin's funeral from My Girl, where he got stung by all the bees. All right.
I forgot about it. He was going to be an acrobat. Well, no wonder he didn't have very many friends.
All right. Josh Giddey or Lou Dort?
Man, this is the first one that's really going to do some damage to me. I got to say bye to Lou.
Oh, no.
I know. I know. He just got all that money. He was going to have a lot. He's going to get a lot of money. I can't.
You killed him before he got the contract.
I want him to be able to spend some of it, but I just Giddey. They both have great hair. I just, you know, Giddy's just a little bit younger, maybe a little bit better. You know.
Yeah. Do you think he needs a soccer style headband to hold?
I do. That was my big takeaway watching Josh Giddey.
I honestly think that one of the dumbest things that the NBA has done in the last like 10 years is get rid of those Nike
ninja headbands.
I think that that's one of the stupidest decisions in like the history of like the sartorial history of the league. And it's like Giddy's prime example, like Giddey in a headband. It's going to look kind of stupid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I think he needs the Mike Miller like one.
Sit it back a little bit. You might be right.
I honestly saw him miss a closeout because he was doing this. And for listeners, I was brushing my hair out of my face. My balding hair out of my face.
Our friend, y'all know Kyle, man.
Yeah,
Yeah, Kyle's awesome. I lost a train of thought. ADHD, oh no.
Talking about Giddey hair headbands, ninja headbands.
Yeah, there is some like supercut in Kyle Mann's possession of like an extraordinary number of Josh Giddey putting his hair behind him.
Wiley Wiggins from Dazed and Confused.
Like it's honestly like he sent one to me like early last season, like not very many games into the season. And there were like 15. I mean, it's all the time. I think that the passing, like he got better at it. Mm-hmm. He was better this summer league, you know, like, and he's taking more chances. One of the things that I like during these games is just like kind of how like balls to the wall he was going and just kind of
like how hard he was going to the hoop, even though he misses like 50% of his layups. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
50% of his. Hey, sometimes he's able to touch the rim, you know, it's pretty cool. I gotta go Giddey there if only because of the age, right? Like there's just like more potential there. Yeah.
I have to say, watching Giddey this year, I loved Giddey. I actually thought Giddey made Chet look a lot better. Like, because Chet's offense sort of rough at times, but like when you watch that game where everyone was going nuts, the first Utah game, if you watch just the highlights, it's like, and everyone was like, this guy's Dirk. And it's like, yeah, he had the one Dirk back down. But like,
sure,
the rest, he's hitting wide open three-pointers because Josh Giddey, like,
well, some
trails, like pick and pops. But and it was like, it certainly helped that he's playing with he's the only guy on the court playing with an NBA point guard.
1,000%. No, I agree with you there. I do think that there was, I agree with you that Chet struggled some offensively. I think that some of those threes were self-generated. Like, he did hit the step back. He had a couple, like, you know, right to left, behind the back kind of things or whatever to get himself open for some threes. But I am with you that, like, what a luxury to have Giddy setting you up.
Yeah, I just mean it more like I felt like Giddy wasn't getting enough credit for how good
he was. I think that's probably fair. I think that's probably fair. Yeah.
Anyway, we said goodbye to Lu Dort. Now it's finally.
I'm really.
Well,
I'm
no,
really
we have
scared.
Two more. We have two more.
I'm really scared because I'm already seeing where we're headed. I'm really scared. I'm terrified.
It's a cliff.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah.
Or all of the first round draft picks you have.
Oh.
All the rest.
All of them.
All the ones that don't exist yet.
Yes.
All the ones that aren't players.
Children
yet.
That are still yet to be born.
All the birds
but are
in
future
the bush.
Members of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Shai or the 15 first round picks.
Or
do they have any picks that last or that are further out than Bobby Bonilla's last payment?
Any picks further out from whenever Allen Iverson finally gets his $32 million for
the rebounds holding.
Shai.
Oh, goodbye Shai. Draft picks.
Okay. I want Shai to be with the Thunder for the rest of his career. Those guys, who knows what they become, but they're not like actualized. And Shai is a real thing that is like, I think an all-star at least, you know, so, you know, on a team that's won some games, I think he would be. And so, yeah, but man, that's a lot of picks to say bye to, Sean. That's a lot of picks, guys.
Well, if you think that was hard, I got one more for you.
I'm honestly just glad you didn't do Shai. I thought you were going to do Shai and Chet. That's
no,
where I thought
no,
we were.
No, I think I'm doing something harder than that.
I think you.
Chet Holmgren. Or boy genius Sam Presti.
Oh, that's so much better than what I thought I was going to be. Chetty or Sammy, what do I do? What do I do? There's like a non-zero chance that someone in like the like Thunder comms is like listening to this. Chet.
All right, bye, Sam.
he's still not a part of the on-court product in the way that somebody like Chet, you know, the ideal version of him, right? Like the fully realized, like whatever, you know. Dirk plus Mutombo type of thing. Like if that was like the best version.
Right.
I don't know. Presti is such a, like an interesting like character in the league now, especially because like he has both had like so much success and also made so many, like, I don't know about so many mistakes, but the mistakes that he has made have been gigantic. Right. And so it's like a,
like someone's boss might've spent the last like 10 years, going real hard at a move that, Sam Presti made. Not someone on this call might have a boss who will not
who
stop talking.
Oh, who are y'all's bosses? Who are y'all's
bosses? My dad.
I think that whenever I hear people say like, golly, Presti is like the job security, like what a smart move to be like, no, we're going to be good in several years. Just wait. Like I both agree with that and also think like he has a trajectory of having done this before and putting together something that's, you know, like that did work for 10 plus years, you know, which is like the point of it. But like, I don't know. I also, like a lot of other people, think that, you know, there are the organization can sometimes lack fun. And that is a direct result, I think, of some of his vibes.
Yeah. Which is weird because he's one of the only GMs that put out an album.
That's true.
You'd think that would make it more fun.
He's got to drop another mixtape. Maybe he'll save himself from that.
Well, you know who he should actually collab with.
One, win the championship. Two, make a smash it. Three, have a baby with my lady, then some grandkids.
Unreal. Some kind of gorillas.
That rivals any morning zoo moment from any live talk radio. You met them like where they are with that. I don't know. I think Presti's like simultaneously probably like. I think the reality of Presti lies somewhere between like the Thunder fans who are like, this guy is like Nostradamus, and the people that are like, this guy's just sucking so he can get good players and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think reality lies somewhere between. I think that the things that are, or that at least have been proven thus far about him are, if you give him a big time pick, like, he usually gets it right. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
or if not.
Yeah,
if,
he did not draft James Wiseman.
Whatever. Hey, he looked good in that one game.
For those first 3 minutes,
We believe. Look, I think he could absolutely be the next Festus Ezeli. I believe he has it in him. He could be a taller Festus.
That's hilarious. I don't know. I don't even know what the hell I'm saying at this point. But I like Presti. I'm glad that he's the Thunder's GM, honestly. Like, I do think that he's a smart guy, like, all jokes aside. I wish that he would lighten up a little bit, mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah.
If that makes Especially sense. With if a team means. This young. It would be fun if there were some fun
I think
stuff.
It's like a – I think it's like a –
You drafted two Jalen Williamses. Make a joke about it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also like this is – like, young teams – there's a finite of time in which you are like, in which you can be like both like fun and cool and just kind of like everybody enjoys you. And then at a certain point you become the Sixers that, you know, made it to the playoffs and get beat by the Raptors. And then it's all like, okay, everything's real from here on out. Right.
Yeah,
like that's what's coming for the Grizzlies now. Like that's what's coming for like, you know, this like, Devin Booker is experiencing all that, right? Like, it's like the young teams, young players that are like cool and have all this potential, they only get to be just that for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I think that you have to, or you don't have to, who cares, right? But like, I think it's worth capitalizing on, right? Like,
yeah.
It's
like for sure.
If you're a small market team and like, you know, they've proven that they can like, you know, put like big time superstars out there on like a worldwide scale, right? So they're capable of it, but I just don't know why you wouldn't be trying to do more fun shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this especially is especially like, after how unfun the ending last time with the Stars was.
Yeah. It just feels like this is they only have one pick this year in the next draft. I mean, they have some second round picks.
Okay,
but,
got you.
I believe they have a pick swap with.
Well, they're going to get some. Don't worry. They're going to.
Yeah, yeah. It's just.
They have the Clippers pick and their own pick, Sean.
Next year?
Yeah, 2023. I'm looking at it right now in the NBA trade.
No, they have a pick swap with the Clippers.
Okay. All right.
Oh, sure. Maybe they. Yeah. I think they.
And then they have three second rounders.
Yeah. So they have. So I'm just saying that this is like a unique year where they would have to be pretty bad. Whereas in 2024, they just need one of these other like.
Well, the Rockets will be pretty bad.
That 2024 Jazz pick could be OK. Yeah, anyway, yeah. I'm just saying it's going to be hard for them to get. Yet another weird 7-footer.
I wouldn't be so sure. All right, though. I think they should
try this year. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the other weird one that they might have is that they is the Oh no, it's just their second round picks. Never mind, I'm way off. I thought they did that weird trade with they got. There's always been some weird stuff going on with those Heat picks that they got.
Oh, because, right.
Like,
yeah.
Because
they keep having to like push them back so the Heat can trade for like PJ Tucker or whatever. Well, yeah.
I always forget about the reality of them because it's always like you know like did they take more protections off of them so that they can make these picks or whatever? Like yeah, so yeah, but it. Yeah, sorry.
There's a three-way pick swap in 2025, and then that Heat pick is lottery protected and then unprotected in 2026. They're all so complicated.
I really hope that 2026 pick works out. You know, maybe Riley will, you know, ride off into the sunset. You know, maybe he'll just peace out and then they'll just tank.
I don't know. Talk like that and he's going to challenge you to a push-up contest. All right. Tyler, that's our episode. Where can our listeners find you?
Just my stuff's on the Ringer. I'm really only on Twitter. It's my handle is my name without the E's. TYLRPARKR. I'm on there. They can find me. You know, I'm not a great follow. I'm fine. Sometimes I get some good stuff. Sometimes it's pretty bad. You know, who knows?
Sean, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Golden State of Mind writing.
Okay. Great. Do you write about then, Summer League?
Writing about Summer League, writing about fun stuff. I'll be at Loose in Little Joy in Los Angeles on Monday, July 18th. And then I'll be at Cobb's Comedy Club on July 20th.
Nice.
In San Francisco.
And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on March 12th, 2014, I tweeted, if I accidentally put a live scorpion in my mouth and chewed on it, am I going to die? Don't ask how that happened, but my tongue is numb.
Was he alive?
I don't know. Sean, did you write a song?
You know, I do have a song this week. It's called Summer League Sadness. A Lana Del Rey song. Right.
Great. That's playing under us right now. Shut it down. Let's
trust
go.
The process.
Trust the process and shut it down. Let's all drop Macaulay Culkin off a cliff.
Yeah.
I gotta go watch that now.
Arrivederci to Palo. Summer League sadness. I just wanted you to know Anthony Randolph was the best. Got my Chris Humphreys jersey on today. Watching Grizzly Wolves bridge the corners all day. Jabari Smith is real big but just shoots the tray. Why the heck didn't Jalen Green play? Oh, KC, they tanked and got some studs. Chet Holmgren and Poku need tailors for their duds. Wish could have seen Josh Giddey play Jalen Suggs. A lot of picks don't play you two no more. Thieves do try to play the foe. Summer League badness. In Hustle Watcher's name was Bo. Kenneth Lofton ate the best. I got that Summer League sadness. Summer League sadness. I got that Summer League sadness. There's 11 and a half months to go. I got my program out tonight, trying to ID all the European whites. Moody was a beast, Kuminga was just alright. Why'd we play Godzilla versus Kong all night? Oh, and G, just watch Trey Murphy 3 get El Cortez, prime rib, but don't eat it, Lowry's. No Woj bombs, but Shams, he's standing 5'3". Why isn't Sengun on the floor? Play some craps before you go. Summer League sadness. I just wanted you to know. The this Del Slot machine for guarding tests. I got that summer league sadness. Summer league sadness. I got that summer league sadness. Shaded shops laden tone. It's 110 degree weather. Don't need stars when you've got the Fremont Street fake sky. Don't let it tip set together. Got that summer league sadness. Summer league sadness. I got that summer league sadness. Frankie Ferrari's on the floor. Stay when the dealer shows for. Summer League Car County. Cam Thomas came here to score. The Nets are gonna need Kyrie Lewis. Accounting. I got that Summer League sadness. Summer League sadness. I got that Summer League sadness. It's 11 and a half hours to go.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.